السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ہر انسان جو دنیا میں آتا ہے
Every individual who sets foot on this earth will one day depart this world. In fact, nothing lasts forever. Some depart God Almighty in their infancy as God summons them to Him. Some in their youth and some having reached old age. And then there are some who reach the ultimate limit of their lives, which Allah the Almighty has mentioned in the Holy Quran as the worst part of life. Which is the stage in which one returns back to their childlike dependence and a lack of understanding and orientation once again. But eventually, even they depart from this world. And the close relatives grieve when their loved ones leave this world, irrespective of which age they depart at. However, when some individuals pass away and leave this world, the circle of people to mourn them is very vast. In the same way, if such an admired personality departs in their youth, and all of a sudden, then the grief and sorrow is multiplied greatly. Nevertheless, in the face of every pain, difficulty, sorrow, and anguish, God Almighty has taught us to be content with His will through the prayer, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, that surely to Allah we belong, and to Him shall we return. And when the close relatives of the departed one display the utmost patience and utter this prayer, then just as God Almighty elevates the status of the deceased, at the same time He ensures the measures are in place to provide comfort to those they leave behind. In recent days, a very beloved and dear Jamia student passed away in an accident at the age of 20. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. A loved one mentioned to me that his friend and his wife went to condole the parents within 2 hours of receiving the news of the accident. And he says that his wife was left amazed when the mother of the dearly departed said, "He was an incredibly dear son to me, but the one who has called him is even dearer." This is the response befitting of a believer, which we see amongst the believers of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam. No audible lamentation was witnessed, but indeed there is pain and sorrow. One tends to cry and is in a state of utter shock. And furthermore, who can suffer more than the mother of the young departed one? Or who can feel this loss more than a father who loses his young son? In regards to the father, I am told that upon receiving news of the accident, he was in a state of the utmost grief, and he was crying and must have been praying at that time. But then when the situation became clear that he had died, and after a short while when he received the news that the death has been confirmed, and surely to Allah we belong and to Him shall we return, he became calm and composed. Thus, this is the true dignity of a believer. The death of a young son cannot be forgotten easily. But a believer presents his pain in the presence of Allah the Almighty. He weeps and begs for satisfaction of the heart whilst praying to elevate the rank of the deceased. On that day, I was on my return journey from Germany. I was preparing to depart, but before the journey began, I received the news that an accident has occurred. Then during the journey, I received the news that the death has been confirmed. The beloved child's face constantly appeared before me, and I had the opportunity to pray. He was an extremely charming boy. Since the students of Jamia Ahmadiyya UK meet me on a regular basis, therefore I have a personal connection with every single one of them and am familiar with all of them. During the personal meetings, if there is any time remaining, they would ask questions as well. In my last meeting with this boy, he had some questions in his mind. In reply to his questions, a lot of time elapsed, as I explained to him in detail. I remember his father said that Raza was extremely happy that the meeting today lasted approximately 15 or 16 minutes, and that he received an answer to his questions. He always had a special love for Khilafat that sparkled in his eyes. When this day one entered Jamia, I expected him to take part in sports and leisure activities and thought that he would excel in his sincerity and loyalty, just as other Ahmadis who are of that youthful age do. However, this boy proved my estimation to be completely incorrect. Although he was excellent in his studies as well, and he was passionate for sports and excelled in sincerity and loyalty, but he also had a deep passion to become an unsheathed sword in defense of Khilafat and faith. And and as the circumstances about which his friends have written to me, he proved to be just that. Countless people, including his friends, class fellows of Jamia Ahmadiyya, his siblings and parents, have written to me about his qualities. And the one thing that almost every person wrote was his humility, his good nature, his honor for the faith, and his connection and love for Khilafat. He was very hospitable, and respecting the sentiments of others were all among his attributes. On account of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, these type of individuals are the ones who are counted amongst those on whom paradise becomes obligatory, and about whom every single person praises. And this boy had a distinct passion to serve the faith, and perhaps participated in sports and hiking activities, because a healthy body is essential to serve the faith. The people who have written about the profile of this beloved boy, every detail mentioned are in praise of his attributes. Respected Raza Saleem was the son of Mr. Saleem Zafar, who works in the office of the private secretary. He passed away due to a hiking accident in Italy on 10th September 2016. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was born in Guildford, UK on 27th September 1993 and was part of the Waqf-e-Nor scheme. His family's connection with Ahmadiyyat originated from his great-grandfather, Mr. Aladdin Sahib, who belonged to a village near Qadian. He performed the Pledge of Allegiance at the hands of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II. Respected Raza Saleem joined Jamia Ahmadiyya UK in 2012. He was going to become the first missionary of his family, and he had completed the 4th year and was entering the 5th year. He was a Musi and had completed his form, and the process was taking place, and I wrote to Majlis Karpur Das that his wasiyat had been approved. Aside from his parents, he leaves behind two brothers and two sisters. Hafiz Ijad Ahmad Sahib, who is a teacher of Jamia Ahmadiyya UK and in charge of hiking, was also on the trip. Whilst outlining the details of the incident, he writes, "We had ascended to the peak of the mountain and spent the night in a hut which was situated approximately 500 meters below the summit. We had returned from the peak and completed the difficult section of the track, and we were accompanied by 10 other hikers. The next morning, around 8 a.m., they left the hut and started the descent. At that time, the weather was perfectly fine, and we were descending in a line when all of a sudden, Raza Saleem slipped on a rock and was unable to balance himself. Due to the slope, he started moving forwards, but was unable to control himself and fell head first. And despite wearing a helmet, he suffered head injuries. According to the doctors, he stopped breathing on impact, or perhaps due to his unconsciousness, or due to the impact. Either way, he fell straight down. He further says, "I tried to grab hold of him, but was unsuccessful. Then I called out to another student, Humayu, who was going ahead. He also tried to grasp him, and although Humayu got a hand to him, he was unable to stop him. Raza Saleem fell down quite a distance. Having witnessed the accident, other students attempted to chase after him. However, I stopped them, as there was a chance of a greater loss. After this, with the help of other hikers, I took the rest of the students back as they had climbed down quite a distance. and none of the hikers had the courage to walk due to the shock. Straight after the accident, the emergency services were alerted and a helicopter arrived within 20 minutes. Reza Salim was visible to us and we signaled his whereabouts to the helicopter, at which point they dropped one of their crew members. And until all the students returned to the helipad, the news of Reza Salim's death was not disclosed. But when all the students arrived safely at the helipad, it was at that point that the emergency services confirmed the death of Reza Salim. And then within 1 hour, all the students were airlifted to the nearest town. At the time of the accident, the weather was absolutely clear, and the track we used was called normal to peak track. His father, Salim Sahib, also visited that place, and he also told me that the local people came to meet him and told him that it was a completely normal track and was not difficult at all, and also that their children used that track regularly. Also, an elderly gentleman met them and said to them that he used the same track on a daily basis. It is said that all people, young and old, walk along that track. All of the locals who came to know of the accident, they all said that although the track was not difficult, it seems that it was destined by God Almighty. I have explained all the details of this incident because some people are spreading false information through messaging on phones and WhatsApp. Some have said that he went out alone, or that the weather was awful, or that the measures were not in place, or perhaps they did not have the right equipment. However, even though the local newspaper there reported that all of them were wearing the necessary equipment, people who wish to comment should use some sense. In times like this, instead of passing inappropriate comments, people should express sympathy and compassion. In all of this, no blame rests on the administration and neither on any individual. God Almighty has set a particular time for all, and this time had come. When the rock slipped or anything else, whether he felt dizzy, nevertheless, whatever the reason may be, it was destiny. Perhaps God Almighty had only written such a lifespan. The rest of the children who were with him are in a state of shock. May God Almighty grant them courage and strength, and may they return quickly back to their normal lives. Nobody can forget the memories. As I mentioned before, friends will continue his remembrance. However, there should not be any sense of despair and desolation, nor should there be any fear, especially among the Jamia students. Salim Zafar Sahib writes, "He was my very beloved son, and he possessed many virtues, of which I will mention a few. He would always speak the truth. If he had made a mistake, he would never cover it up, and he would not worry about getting reprimanded. It was his practice to admit his mistake and remain steadfast on the truth. He was very loving towards children. He would love his sister's children a lot. And he was so sensitive that if his sister would scold her children, then he would begin to cry. And he would say, 'Children cannot be reformed by physical punishment.'" His father mentioned to me about his mulaqat, a personal meeting with Hazur, and has also written about it, that whenever he had a mulaqat, he would very joyously call and inform us that he had a mulaqat today. He further adds, he would include us in such happy moments. And before going in for his mulaqat, he would always ask for a nail cutter, saying, "I am about to go inside and I don't want my nail to cause any harm while shaking hands." How many people are there who take note of such intricate details? He would take joy by giving things to others. His father says, from his very childhood, when he would bring chocolate or other things which were supposed to last at least a week, but if he got his hands on them the very first day, he would go and distribute them amongst his fellow students. even during Jamia studies, those boys who were from abroad and outside of London and therefore could not visit their homes, he would invite them to his home over the weekend. And he would inform his mother or sister at home and say that this many friends are coming with me and they will eat with us, so please have the food ready. And if we gave him anything to eat, as he would be going to the hostel, and so he should keep it with him, however, he would only take it if it was enough for his roommates. And if it was not enough, he would leave it, saying, I cannot eat secretly. His father further states, he would sometimes even bring his friend's clothes home for laundry and would say, these are my friend's clothes and if they could be washed and ironed. He also had a very loving relationship with his siblings. He would do their work and serve them with utmost responsibility. And though he was careful when it came to spending on his own being, and one cannot say that he acted niggardly in financial matters, rather he was not extravagant. However, he was very generous towards others. And as I have stated, that by the grace of Allah the Almighty, his wasiyat has also been approved. He had overwhelming love for the promised Messiah alayhi salam and Khilafat, and he would never listen to anything against this. He would never stay quiet if he heard anything against it. His father says, his face would always turn red if he heard anything about this, regardless of who said it. His father also states, we had to take care of his needs ourselves because he was very patient and would never ask for anything. During the studies, he would always provide great help in the English subject to students from abroad, particularly those from Europe. Some very senior boys have also written to me that he would help them a lot during their English examinations. There was no such thing as anger in him. He was always seen laughing and smiling, and everyone has written about this trait of his. He would take part in telling clean jokes and would enjoy listening to them as well. He was extremely punctual in his prayers. His father states, he was a Waqf-e-Nau to begin with, but Allah the Almighty also granted him the honor to become a Waqf-e-Zindagi as well, i.e. a life devotee. And according to his ability, he took his share of the divine attribute of being truthful by always speaking the truth. It was my lasting desire, his father states, that it was my lasting desire that he should serve the movement, i.e. the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, as a missionary. His father also said this to me, and I told him that this boy had already become a missionary even before completing his education in Jamia. And I will share some incidents in regards to his passion for the moral training of others and also his passion for tabligh, i.e. preaching. And as I mentioned before, that this journey was undertaken in order to acquire a healthy body. So in this regard, it should be called a religious journey. And may Allah the Almighty continue to exalt his ranks. And may he grant him a place amongst his near ones. His father writes, he went to Manchester for Waqf-e-Arzi, i.e. a period of voluntary service, and someone placed an envelope in his pocket the day he was to return. He opened the envelope and looked at it, and there was some money inside it. Raza thanked that person and returned the envelope and said, Uncle, we are not allowed to take this. The same person wrote to me a few days later that a small boy who is becoming a missionary came here, and he has left us astonished. And if such children became missionaries, then certainly a spiritual reformation can take place in the Jamaat. And he wrote to me how he had given him that amount, and he, Ayy Raza, had refused to accept it, and he completed his work with immense diligence. His mother writes, my son was obedient to his parents and the Jamaat. As such, every child has a relationship with their parents. However, his relationship of love with me was very unique. He was very caring, obedient, and he would speak about even the smallest of matters in a very good manner. He would treat both youngsters and elders in a very loving manner. Whenever he was home, he would help me with the house chores. He would ask me in short intervals, "You are tired, shall I help out?" He could never see me in distress and would say, "There should not be any tears in your eyes." He would ask about everyone immediately after returning from Jamia and would ask how everyone had been throughout the week with great concern. During his childhood, when Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV would visit Islamabad, he would run out after coming home from school saying that I'm going to visit Hazur and will go for a walk as well. Dr. Nusrat Jahan Sahiba from Rabwa, who is here and is very sick these days, had a good relationship with this household. He, Ayy Raza, would say that I pray for her a lot, and may Allah the Almighty grant her health. May Allah the Almighty accept his prayers for her as well. She writes, I saw a dream on Friday night that a lot of people are visiting my house and many photos are being taken. I got up scared and told my husband that I saw a dream which has scared me a lot and I do not have a good feeling about it. So please give sadaqah, i.e. charity, first thing in the morning. He said that I will give sadaqah when I go to the office, but even before that, this sad news was received. His mother says, whenever I would buy some clothes and give it to him, he would wear it without complaining and would immensely appreciate it. He was extremely hospitable. He would never forget it, and if someone had invited him over, then whenever he would meet them or they would visit Islamabad, he would come home immediately and say that such and such people are visiting, please make food and invite them over. She further says, before he left for his trip, he taught me how to type in Urdu in my phone, saying, because you have to ask other siblings about my condition, but now you can write to me in Urdu and I will respond to you myself directly. She says, whatever advice I would give, he would try his best to act accordingly. And this is what he told his friends. He established a relationship with Khilafat and he strived to act according to every little commandment of the Jamaat. She, his mother, says that once he said to me, Mother, I desire to become such a good missionary that I am able to do a lot of tabligh for the Jamaat and convert so many people to Ahmadiyyat that you become proud of me. His sister Rafia Sahiba says, he was a very loving brother. He was the youngest, but his thinking was very deep. And despite being the youngest, he would be considerate of everyone, and he would converse with people of every age group according to their age. And to this day, he has not hurt anyone's feelings. He would listen to everything carefully and would respond very respectfully. Those people who would visit Islamabad for work, some workers would go for repairs or during the construction of the Lajna Hall, he would also take care of them. He would send them tea or other food items. He would serve them all the time and people would say that he is the only one who takes care of us. His brother, Asad Salim, says, he had a very simple disposition. He would save whatever was right and truthful. Just recently, we had purchased a new car for him and surprised him. Both his brothers have good jobs and they purchased a car for their younger brother. He says, the very first thing which he asked about this car was its price. And he said that as a missionary, I should live a simple life and should not take expensive things. His sister, Amatul Hafiz Sahiba, writes, one of his virtues was that he did not like to hear negative things about anyone. And he had the skill to transform negative thoughts of people to positive ones. He would say that we should look at the virtues of people and instead of speaking about their evils, we should pray about it. One example of the simplicity in his disposition is that when his mother would give him new clothes for Eid, but after wearing them, he would be worried lest these clothes might be unnecessarily formal and ostentatious. And for this reason, he would wear something old over it, like a jacket, for instance. Qudus Sahib, who is a teacher at Jamia Ahmadiyya and was also with them on the hike, he says, I know Raza Saleem from childhood. When he enrolled at Jamia, I was in my Shahid class, i.e. final year. Thus, although in Jamia I only spent a year with him, however, we often spent time together carrying out duties at Khudamul Ahmadiyya Tarbiti classes, Ijtimaaz and Jalsa Salam. Sadr Khudamul Ahmadiyya also informed me that Raza Saleem did excellently in the Q&A sessions with Khudam at the Ijtimaaz. Qudus Sahib writes that Raza Saleem would give duty in the hygiene department. The name hygiene is specifically given, however, it infers cleaning up and so on. However, he never complained as to why he had been assigned to this department. Rather, he devotedly carried out this duty with great effort and commitment. He further says, I had the opportunity to teach him at Jamia. He was a very capable student, and he would sit right at the front, very attentively. He always smiled when speaking, and I do not remember him ever expressing any anger. Instead, he always aimed to help others. He was keen on cricket. However, if he wanted to go and check the score, he would always seek permission from the teachers first. He says, during this hike, we spent the night in a hut in which there was a toilet without a lock on its door. Everyone asked him to stand at the door, and he did so very happily. He went on to say that if any of us needed to use it at night, they could feel completely free to wake him up. He was due to go to Croatia with his classmate Zafir after the hike. However, Zafir hurt his eye, and Raza would repeatedly express his concern and said that as soon as the hike was over, they would arrange a checkup in the hospital for him. He writes, Raza Saleem was a very devoted Waqf-e Zindagi, i.e. life devotee, and his outstanding qualities were being hardworking, being very committed, and always treating others with high morals and etiquettes. Similarly, another teacher of Jamia Ahmadiyya, Zahid Khan Sahib, writes, for the last 2 years, I had the opportunity to teach Raza's class. One of the unique qualities I saw in this child was that whatever task was assigned to him, he would render it with great effort, dedication, and with a sense of responsibility. At times, I noticed that if the other children assigned to that particular task wandered off here and there, however, he would remain occupied in fulfilling that task and would continue doing so with all his effort until the task was not completed. A great quality of Raza Saleem was that he would never ask unnecessary questions, but whenever he did, they would always be related to the allegations leveled against Islam and Ahmadiyyat from the western part of the world. And at times he would say that he was speaking to a non-Muslim or a non-Ahmadi and he asked such and such question. Thus, it is as if God Almighty had placed a burning desire in him for the defense of Islam and Ahmadiyyat and for responding to the allegations leveled against it. He says, a few times Raza sat with me in order to get a lift, and on two occasions his USB fell out of his pocket in the car. The USB stick would contain the audio recordings of the Promised Messiah's books and had nothing inappropriate or anything vain. Another teacher, Sayyid Mashood Ahmed, writes, he was part of my tutorial group, and alongside the syllabus, he would take an extraordinary interest in taking part in educational and sporting activities. His general knowledge level was much higher than the other students. He further states, last year, in order to take part in Baitbazi competition, i.e. reciting couplets from poems, he memorized over 500 couplets. And a very notable quality in regards to this was that he did not just simply memorize them, but in fact he would try and understand their meaning. And for this, he would seek help from senior students and teachers. He also says, Raza Saleem had a great passion for tabligh by preaching. And last year he was sent to Wolverhampton Jamaat for Waqf-e-Arzi, i.e. period of voluntary service, during the course of which he distributed leaflets and also put up a number of tabligh stalls along with other members of the Jamaat. There he came across an Englishman who was a very active Christian, and he was very astonished when he learnt from Raza about the promised Messiah's findings in regards to Jesus surviving the crucifixion and migrating towards Kashmir. After this, he invited him to the mosque and gave him a tour of it and remained in contact with him for tabligh. Similarly, he would always be ready to go for distributing leaflets and setting up tabligh stalls with the local Jamaat of Islamabad and Jamia. Last year, some of the students from his class or from Jamia travelled to Spain in the summer, and I told them that they should distribute a minimum of 50,000 leaflets. And by the grace of Allah the Almighty, this group managed to distribute 50,500 leaflets. Mansoor Zia Sahib, a teacher of Jamia, writes, he was a student with a very gentle disposition. I never saw any sign or trace of anger on his face. However, if anyone ever leveled any unlawful criticism against Khilafat or the doctrines of the Jamaat, he says, then I noticed that there was an extreme anger in his face. He says that all of this is a clear proof that his entire being was filled with the love for Khilafat and a sense of honor for it. Regarding his attachment to Khilafat and seeking religious knowledge, he further states, whenever I would mention anything about the Friday sermon or assess the students about the sermon, Raza would be able to recall many things from it. He would listen to the sermon very intently. He further adds, which is something that everyone has mentioned, and that is, that I observed that he had great passion for tabligh. It was his habit to preach to non-Ahmadis through social media, and he would make great effort in order to prepare the comprehensive responses to the allegations of the non-Ahmadis with the help of his teachers. One of his class fellows, Safir Ahmed, writes, I am from Belgium and he was aware of this and he knew that I did not go back home on the weekends. And so, he would always invite me to his house to have home-cooked meals. Also, my English is weak and so he would teach me English and help me prepare for my exams. Similarly, another student, Shahzeb Attar, writes, he had a very gentle disposition. He would meet others with great happiness and was always ready to help others. He states, we were sent for Waqf-e-Arzi and set up a tabligh stall in the market. And two Christians came and Raza introduced the Jamaat to them in a very beautiful manner. Raza's knowledge was very extensive and had a great passion for tabligh. He would never speak to anyone with an angry tone. He would gather all the boys and make plans for excursions. He further adds, I recall an incident from 2014 when me and Raza set up a tabligh stall during our Waqf-e-Arzi. Shortly before we were about to leave, some people from Britain First came to us who were against Islam and were distributing their leaflets. When they approached us, they began to ask Raza questions with a very angry tone. However, he was very soft and gentle while responding to all of their questions, and eventually they understood that we are not amongst those Muslims who are extremists. Another student of Jamia, Zafir, says, I was sitting with him in the classroom, and all of a sudden, he got hold of a board marker and said, Zafir, we are wasting so much of our time in Jamia. And then began writing up the timetable. And he would then highlight the free slots and say, we should also do something during this time and make it more productive rather than wasting our time. He also had planned to sit with his teachers during his spare time and study various subjects. The same boy who has been mentioned earlier in regards to sustaining a minor injury to his eye, he says, I sustained an injury to my eye, and right up until the very end, he would continuously say, Zafir, as soon as we get to the bottom, we should go to the hospital so that you can get proper treatment. He also says that before the incident took place, while they were descending from the mountain, if ever his foot slipped, Zafir's foot would often slip and he, Ayy Raza, would be very worried and would tell him to walk cautiously. He further adds, last year while hiking, I became ill due to the high altitude, and which is known as altitude sickness. And he says he would keep comforting me and inquire about my condition, but little did I know that destiny had something else in plan. After coming back to Jamia from the weekends, he would always come back having learnt about the allegations levelled against the Jamaat and would then seek the answers from the teachers. Another student of Jamia, Hafiz Taha, writes, he was greatly attached to Khilafat and had a deep love for it, and he would never tolerate a word said against Khilafat and against the Nizami Khilafat. Once, someone who had drifted away from the Jamaat said something incorrect about Khilafat, and Raza said to him, I can listen to everything you say, but I cannot tolerate a word about or against Khilafat. Another student, Daniel, writes, after going hiking last year, we were all taking lessons from Hafiz Ijaz regarding the next hike. And Raza was very happy, and we were all making videos on our phone and sharing them with one another. He says he would always try and keep every one of us happy, and he would always make an effort to ensure that the time was not wasted, and every week he would be reading a new book. He would strive to become regular in tahajjud prayer, i.e. pre-dawn voluntary prayer, and would tell his friends to strictly wake him up at the time of tahajjud if he was still sleeping. Aside from Jamia studies, he also had great interest in gaining worldly knowledge, and he took great interest in general knowledge and learning couplets from poems and would take part in them. In short, people have written countless number of incidents. May Allah the Almighty elevate the status of the deceased and grant him a place at the feet of his loved ones. As I mentioned earlier, that even before passing out from Jamia, this child was an excellent missionary and an excellent preacher, and he had an extremely great sense of honor and regard for Khilafat. May Allah the Almighty enable all the students from all the Jamias around the world to also increase in their devotion and loyalty and fulfill their obligations. His friends should not simply limit themselves to counting his qualities. Rather, fulfilling the right of a true friend is that they should now inculcate those qualities within themselves and should utilize all their faculties towards the service of faith. And may I and the future Khulafa continue to be given excellent helpers. May Allah the Almighty grant the parents and also the brothers and sisters comfort to the heart, and the manner in which they have all shown patience and contentment at the will of Allah the Almighty, may they continue to remain firm on that, and may they continue to receive the blessings of Allah the Almighty. May Allah the Almighty protect them from all kinds of future trials and difficulties. After the Friday prayer, the Namaz-e-Janazah, the funeral prayer, will take place. The funeral is present here, therefore I shall go outside and lead the namaz-e-janazah, and members should remain here and organize their lines.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر